Alvy, what do you say? You hit me with a deck of yeah. Welcome to the program. Yeah. It is Friday. This show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Hey, clones, what do you say you get up in here? Help me out. Let's do this thing together. 1-800-636-8686. How you feeling? What's going on? What do you got going for the weekend? I've got a really good program to send you into the weekend with. Make sure you finish strong. It's like the cheesiest thing ever, but TGIF, the grind includes Friday. Come strong. Participate on the program. Hit me up on the phones, toll free. The staff is intact. XR4TI crew. On the other side of the glass, the EP, Adam Hawk, screening out your phone calls. Rit, why are you holding up your cup of hot cocoa at me? I didn't even mention you, old man.
Game on.
Rit is in the back row. Game on. Finally. Happy Halloween.
Finally.
Dwight Eisenhower. Don't act like Rit dressed up as Dwight Eisenhower. That's just the way he looks. If you go to rip that Eisenhower mask off his face, you're going to be ripping his face off his face. Don't do it. Rit's just acting it out back there, man. You are a kooky old dude. Welcome to the show, Rit. Alvy is back. It's Friday. No way Alvy misses the Friday before Halloween. Because Alvy has a spooky mix to update for you. So the entire crew is intact. You know how to find me. Hit me up on the phones. Hit me up on social at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Or you can old school email me, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interviews look like this. I've got Jim Trotter coming up next segment. An NFL Network reporter, good friend of the program. Dan Wetzel, top of hour number two. Harrison Bryant, America's tight end. For America's team, the Browns, one of my topics on the NFL on CBS this Sunday. So we have those three interviews. I have Alvy's week that was. I have Alvy's spooky mix. I've got Big Head Bets, James Kelly, on a Friday. So we have a lot to get done. Let me hit you with that phone number one more time. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so yesterday I did pose the question. How would the Atlanta Falcons lose to the Carolina Panthers? Like, what new come-from-way-ahead catastrophe could we all expect? They had already melted down on the onside kick. They had already let Nick Foles come back and kick them in the package. They had already had Todd Gurley accidentally fall into the end zone late in the game to virtually guarantee a loss when he scored. So, what were they going to do to raise the bar last night? Because if the Falcons are on TV and they're playing in the fourth quarter, something horrible and awesome is going to happen. Except it didn't. They completely flipped the script on us. They won. Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't play like they were laying the groundwork for another disastrous finish, because they were definitely doing that. They dug the foundation for the House of Shame on the very first drive when they went all the way down the field. They got to the Carolina 3-yard line, and then the drive stalled out. Fourth and one from the three, the Falcons had a really important decision to make. Go for it or kick a field goal. Let me put it to you another way. You're on the road. You're 1-6. You have an interim head coach. So do you go for it or kick a field goal? The Falcons settled for the field goal, and they made that field goal. But if you were playing ugly road loss bingo, you could already check off strange decision to kick field goal from your card. Look, I'm not saying that kicking that field goal in that situation is the worst decision ever, but come on, man. And I say this to somebody who has a lot of respect for the interim head coach, Raheem Morris, but you're on the 3-yard line. You're 1-6. It's 4th-and-1. Maybe you line up and punch the guy in front of you in the face and punch it in. Let it rip. Make a statement. It's not like you have anything to lose, especially your dignity, which you all lost weeks ago. But the Falcons were happy enough just to settle for the points. And then they watched the Panthers respond with a 6-play TD drive. And then Atlanta came right back with a 12-play field goal drive. So you see, at that point, it felt like Atlanta was doing all the right things to set up another major choke job. The defense was letting Carolina move right down the field. The offense was not finishing any of their drives, and they kept settling for field goals. And I'll be honest, I felt pretty damn good about it because I knew it was going to end really badly. And no, I'm not here to hate. I'm not here to root for the Panthers. I'm not even here to root against the Falcons. By now, you should know. Except for that one guy who glossed me Dodger Jim. By now, you should know. I don't give a damn who wins that game. I don't give a damn who wins any game, for that matter.
Like a homer.
I was rooting for something to talk about. And the Falcons were doing work, and they were giving me that. And by the way, don't even get this part twisted. I don't even think Atlanta is a bad team. In fact, I think they're a fascinating team. I actually love them because, as I've said before, you have to be a pretty damn good team to have double-digit leads in the fourth quarter of consecutive games, and you have to be a pretty damn bad team to blow double-digit leads in the fourth quarter of consecutive games. And they've done that. They've done both those things. That's why they're a fascinating team to me, because you never know what you're going to get from them. And with 8 minutes to go in the first half, what you got was some magic from Matt Ryan.
Ryan gets it, moves to the right. He's got some room to run. He's going to run it inside the 10, inside the 5, angles for the pylon, and he is in, standing up. Touchdown, Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. A rare touchdown run for Matt Ryan.
Damn, look at Steve Young out there. Check out the wheels on that dude. Since when did Matty Ice turn into Mikey Vick? Yeah, I mean, sure, it helped that one Panthers DB fell over and was trying to do a bear crawl to get to Ryan, but nobody was going to catch Matt Ryan last night. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. When Matt Ryan gets into the open field, you can cancel Christmas.
You can cancel Christmas.
He's no Daniel Jones. But after the game, Ryan was all modest with it. He talked about the run. He admitted that, yes, he had open field in front of him, but he was not quite sure if he was going to make it.
Well, I never know, you know. You never know until you're really in there. These guys can recover pretty quickly, but, you know, just fast enough. I feel like I've always been that way throughout my career, just fast enough to make him pay sometimes on third downs, and it was a big score for us there. We needed it.
Dude, it was. That was a big score, and your team did need that. Not just for the points, but for the energy lift. Because dudes were losing their collective bleep on the sideline. Ryan saw that too, and also was not sure what to make of that.
I can't tell if they're laughing at me or, like, you know, or just having a good time and excited for it. But, you know, they're always good when we get them. And yeah, I think guys get fired up by it, you know, showing that, you know, there's different ways to get the job done.
Hey, Maddie. I hate to be the guy to say it, but typically, if you can't tell if somebody is laughing at you or with you, they're laughing at you. But not in this case, and definitely not for me. Nothing but respect for my guy. I mean, damn, Lamar Jackson, he's got nothing on you, Iceman.
Iceman.
You see a play like that, and you think maybe, just maybe, the Falcons are going to rip this game. But then you're reminded of the fact that you've thought that time and time again about the Falcons, that they have figured out ways to not rip games. And then you couple that with their continued commitment throughout last night's game of racking up long drives with big yardage and stallouts in the end zone that end with field goals. That is, until they capped off this 7-minute drive with Todd Gurley doing the right thing.
Dive formation again. Hand off to Gurley again. Gurley up the middle, and he is in. Touchdown, Atlanta. Todd Gurley, his first touchdown of the night, his 8th of the season. And the Falcons can make it a 2-score game if they hit the extra point. Right now, 25-17 with 11:01 remaining.
I'll get back to that key point in a minute, that if they hit that extra point, it's a 2-score game. How many of you had Carolina last night? And we're watching that, and we're like, dude, fall down. Fall down. How come we couldn't fall down last night? All of you, probably. Because that time, Gurley scoring was a good thing, a really good thing. It put them up by 8. You hit the extra point. You're up by 2 scores with 11 minutes to go in the fourth. And maybe then the Falcons can't even blow that. So what did Atlanta do with the extra point? They did the most Atlanta thing ever. They missed it.
An important extra point here to try to make it 9 in the lead category for Atlanta. Younghoe Koo, he missed it.
Oh.
He pushed it off to the right, and it stays a one-score
Atlanta.
Game. Younghoe Koo has only missed one field goal all season, but he has now missed 3 PATs in 17 attempts.
That's a pretty weird ratio. He's missed one field goal all year, but 3 point afters. And if you're a Falcons fan at that point, you're fearing the worst. You knew it was not a matter of if the Falcons would lose, because they would. You knew it wasn't a matter of when the Falcons would lose, because it would be right at the end of the game. It was only a matter of how the Falcons would lose. Yeah, I want to say, I just want to digress for 1 minute. It is amazing how much content I've gotten out of the Falcons the last 2 days. A monster block before the game, a monster block after the game. Man, they are team content. Who's my favorite team? The Falcons. Carolina, not far behind. They knew what was up, as just about every single person with a Twitter feed knew what was up. Everybody tweeted last night, the Panthers had the Falcons right where they wanted them. They knew Atlanta's history. They knew they had a good look at this. Even when Carolina had a 3rd-and-18 at their own 24 with 1:47 to go, they still knew they had it in the bag.
And they've got 7 back there right around where the first down marker is.
Bridgewater hit as he throws, and the pass is caught. That's more. Carolina is inside Atlanta territory to the 34.
White jerseys all around DJ Moore, and it didn't matter. Falcon fans, how are you feeling after that? I'll answer it for you. Terrible. You are puking all over yourself from your couch, just like your guys were puking all over themselves on the field. You got a 3rd-and-18, and your rookie DB bites on a move, and suddenly Carolina is on your 34. You knew at that point it was over. Carolina was going to score, go for 2, convert, win it in overtime, and everybody who bet that the Falcons would Falcon were going to party. Except it didn't happen. 3 plays later, the Falcons did a reverse Falcon, and the Panthers did an actual Falcon. Roll it.
3rd-and-6. Takes the snap. Moves to the left of the pocket. Flag comes in. Throws downfield, and it's intercepted by Bleeding Ray Wilson, who goes down to the ground after catching it around the 10-yard line. But the flag is back around the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it's holding.
You're right, it's Taylor Moton, and Bleedy Ray Wilson's interception will stand his 2nd of the season, and it's going to be the game clincher for the Atlanta Falcons.
I always say that I'll do this. I've got this long, long list of my favorite sports names, and I've never actually run it down on the program. Add Bleedy Ray Wilson to it. What a great name. INT, ball game, victory formation, holy bleeping crap. Bleedy Ray Wilson, if you need him. And Atlanta did. So to the question of which way would the Falcons lose last night? The answer is they would win. They would shock the world and win the damn game. Even Matt Ryan was pumped.
We've been in every game we played this year, you know. And so we've had some crazy losses. You know, just to be frank, and I really believe that we've got the, you know, caliber of team to go be in every game we're going to play the rest of the season. And why can't we win them all? You know, that's the mindset that I have.
I love Matthew Ice. We've lost some crazy games, to be frank. Yeah, way to own that, Matt. Like, how magnanimous of you to own that. Yeah, we know, Matt. We know. I also love this notion of why can't you win them all? Yeah, why can't you? Hey, by the way, Raheem Morris is 2-1 as the interim coach. If not for Todd Gurley losing his balance and the defense losing their heads, Raheem would be 3-0 and well on his way to 11-0. You know, the 11-0 mark that Arthur Blank said that he needed if he wanted to keep that job full time. Damn, Atlanta, I don't even know you anymore.
Amanda.
Rise up, Atlanta. Rise up. Like I said, I don't have a favorite team. My favorite team is team content. And I never thought that I would get so much content from the Falcons, both before and after. 1-800-636-8686. Dear Jim. And there is this topic, which I will get to later on. I knew this was coming. Dear Jim, I am so glad to be the White Sox new manager. I have to be honest. I didn't see that offer coming. I must have been asleep at the wheel. Signed, Tony La Russa.
R-S-T-U-V-V-Z-T-U-V-X-Y-X-Z.
Signed, John and Wisco, unwore the bleep show with Big Ten football right now. I will talk about the bleep show involving Big Ten football with Dan Wetzel at the top of the hour. It is a bleep show. And I hate to say it, but Nebraska is in the middle of that bleep show. Talk about a bleep show. Tony La Russa hired by the White Sox? Are you kidding me with that? That's definitely one of my topics. Tony La Russa was hired by the White Sox in 1979.
He said,
there are managers in baseball right now that weren't even born then, and they hired this guy to manage them.
He said,
Connie Mack didn't want any of that. Is he going to bring Wilbur Wood with him?
He said,
dude, Tony La Russa? And even worse is the reason for doing so. Wells in the 1080 tweets. James Kelly gets big head bets. Alvin gets the week that was and a spooky mix. When can I get another segment? I have some really awesome stories. Signed, Ritt. Well, I've heard Ritt's stories. None of them were awesome. He's got lots of stories.
So
none
of
them were awesome.
My heart tickets are looking pretty puny right about now.
And one from a lady clone. Hi, Jim. I know it's a little early, but happy no-shave November. Regards, Portland woman and Rachel's back.
Come on, Rachel, shave your back.
Ashley in Nebraska, War Lady Clones. She wrote
War
that,
Lady
not
Clones.
Me. She War Lady Cloned herself. No Shave November, signed Rachel's back and Portland woman.
Come on, Rachel, shave your back.
You go, Ashley. What's up? Like I said, Ashley is the next big thing among Lady Clones.
War Lady
when
Clones.
We come back, Jim Trotter joins me. Dan Wetzel, so two of the best journos in the business. Jim Trotter, Dan Wetzel, and America's tight end, Harrison Bryant, joining me later on. Dell Technologies advisors listen to your small business needs so they can provide you with advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, as well as tailored tech solutions powered by Intel vPro platform. It keeps your small business ready for what's next. Our Dell Technology advisors listen so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today. Find the right solutions for your small business. 877-ASK-DELL. 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
So I got a lot to cover with this guy. Let's not waste any time. We are joined right now. Welcome back. Joined right now by a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is an author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. He is a co-host of the new podcast, Huddle and Flow. Of course, a very good friend of the program. He is Jim Trotter. Jim, my man, what's going on? How are you, Jim?
I'm great, Romy. How you doing?
Good, good, dude. Good to have you back. Thanks so much for doing this. I want to get into football in a moment, but I do have to ask you. I saw you and Dermoni Dawson hit up Torrey South this week. How did that go for you, and how is that big fella's golf game right about now?
Well, that big fella's golf game is always good, you know, so I always have to rib him a little bit because he gives me a bunch of strokes. That's the only way I can play with him. So when I win, what we do is we always bet. We have a match play bet and a strokes bet. And it's $1 each, so it's not like we're breaking anybody. But the loser always has to pull out two $1 bills. And he has to sign them on that day. So whenever I win and he has to sign it, I'm that guy who goes ahead and takes the picture and posts it on social media to get him, knowing I'm getting my tail kicked 9 out of 10 times. But it's that one time I can have fun with him.
That's fun. Jim Trotter joining us. All right, so Jim, the Falcons breakthrough last night. They actually finish off a win. Let me ask you this: they're 2-1 with Raheem Morris. And they're a Todd Gurley mental mistake away, and the defense, of course, melted down. But they could have been 3-0. There's a history in the league of minority coaches getting hired as interim coaches. And then when the team does not turn it around, that's held against them. What do you make of the job that Morris has done since he took over?
Well, I'll say this, Rome. It bothered me when they fired Dan Quinn and they made Raheem Morris the interim coach. And Arthur Blank, the owner, was asked, does Raheem have a chance to win the head coaching position? And Arthur said almost, you know, sort of casually, and I believe he was joking, he said, well, if he goes 11-0, he'll be considered. And I just thought that at this time, in this day and age, at the point where we are in the league, where there is such an issue of lack of diversity among head coaches and GMs, to even joke about something like that, I thought was just wrong. And so now Raheem has them playing well right now. You're right. They are a mental blunder from being 3-0 under him. And the sad part is I don't believe that he'll be considered for the head job at this point. And to me, again, that's a travesty. So I think these owners have to be a little more sensitive to where we are in this day and age and what their hiring practices have been, to not joke about things like that and to take it seriously. And if Raheem does go and have a winning record with this team that was winless under Dan Quinn, then I think he should be considered for not only the Falcons job, but any other head coaching opening that becomes available.
We are talking to Jim Trotter. You know, Jim, go back to Sunday night, if you would. You were on your podcast talking about that Seattle-Arizona matchup. I want to pick my spots here because of our time constraints. Sure. But when you look at Kyler Murray, like, he goes head-to-head with Russell Wilson. He comes back from down 13. He gets the win. If you're the Cardinals, how fired up are you by the way he played in that game in prime time in just his second season and on a night when he didn't necessarily have his best stuff initially?
You're extremely excited about it. And go back, look, now he's beaten Seattle. He beat San Francisco in week one when the 49ers were at full strength. So you have to be excited about that. The thing I'll say about this is, look, he's played two primetime games back-to-back now. Played the Cowboys on a Monday night, turned around and played the Seahawks. And I thought the game that was more impressive to me, to be honest, Jim, was the Cowboy game from this standpoint. He clearly did not have his A game as a passer in that game. I think he was 9 of 24 passing for 188 yards, and he was off. I mean, just did not look good as a passer. But as a young player, he had the maturity to say, you know what, I don't have my A game as a passer, but I can still have an impact on this game with my legs. And so he used his feet to pick up first downs, to extend drives, and to have an impact in that way, and that showed me a lot. And then he comes back the following Sunday and does what he did against the Seahawks, where he throws for what I think 388 or something like that, 300 plus yards, nearly 400, three scores, rushes four score. I just think this is a talented young player, and as Larry Fitzgerald once said to me, you know, he has the ability to be legendary, and I think he's starting to show that. And if I could, real quick on the Cardinals, the thing that impressed me in that game as much as anything was the job that Vance Joseph did, their defensive coordinator. You know, last year he simply did not have the personnel to compete and did what he could. This year he's lost some pieces again, and yet he is still putting that defense in a position to make plays and to get something out of Isaiah Simmons, their first-round pick, who had not been playing much this year because of the struggles in the transition from college to the pros, played only five snaps but came up with that key interception at the end to set up the game-winning field goal. You know, I think Vance Joseph deserves a lot of credit for what the Cardinals are doing.
I'm glad you said that, and I could not agree more. Chandler Jones is gone. They're still making big plays. Simmons, they put him in a position where he has not played a lot so far, and they're working him in slowly. He makes an enormous play. And the defense, although they gave up numbers, Jim, they got off the field when they had to. Also on your podcast, you were talking to John Schneider, the GM of the Seahawks, and you and he go way back. He was a big Russell Wilson fan back at a time when not everybody was, before they drafted him. What did he see in Russ at that time that made him think that Russ could be special?
Well, he said that he had all the traits that he saw, and you know, when Schneider had worked with other clubs, and he had seen Brett Favre, he had seen Rich Gannon, guys like that, and he said Russell had all those same traits. The only issue was, you know, he wasn't 6 foot, and so when he stood on the table for him, you know, he said, because I asked him, I said, did you think he was going to be this good? I know you thought he was going to be good, but did you think this good? And, you know, he could have said, of course I thought that, which, you know, and had fun with it. But he said, no. He said, I knew he would be a damn good player, but I didn't know that he would be on this sort of Hall of Fame trajectory. And he said, the thing about Russell is that every year he challenges himself to raise his game, to take it to a new place. And John's just like, he's phenomenal in that way. He goes, look, when this guy's done playing, he's probably going to be president, you know, of this country, with the way his mind works and the goals that he sets and those sorts of things. So he just simply saw all the traits, whether you talk about arm strength, whether you talk about leadership, competitiveness, intelligence. all those sorts of things. Russell had it. The only thing he didn't have is the hype that many scouts were looking for at that time. And I have talked to other GMs who have told me now that all of these shorter quarterbacks who are coming into the league, who have been taken number one overall, whether it's Kyler Murray, whether it's Baker Mayfield, guys like that, they owe a debt of gratitude to Russell Wilson. Because of how he has played, it has helped make it easier for these other clubs to say, you know what, height should not be an overriding factor when we talk about drafting a quarterback number one or high in the first round.
We are talking to Jim Trotter. All right, Jim, so along those lines, you've got a piece up right now on NFL.com, and it discusses the NFL trade deadline, which is Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You almost never see former first-round quarterbacks dealt while still on their rookie deals, but is there an argument to be made that the Jets should do something with Sam Darnold?
Sure. Now, look, let me preface this by saying, Jim, that I don't believe it's going to happen at the trade deadline. That's not to say it won't happen in the offseason, but not at the trade deadline. But the reality is, I think that Steve Keim, the general manager of the Cardinals, showed us that it's okay to admit that maybe you didn't get it right or maybe there's a better route to go. And I say that because in 2018, they traded up to draft Josh Rosen at number 10. And then that following offseason, they drafted Kyler Murray number one overall and then traded away Josh Rosen after only 1 year. And I asked Steve Keim about that, and I said, have you laid the blueprint and how much pressure was on you when you make that decision? He goes, there was a huge amount of pressure because what you're doing is, potentially, if you're wrong, you've now jeopardized your entire career, not just your job, but your career. And so he said his thinking was, look, you can feel that you have Clyde Drexler on your roster, but if you're watching tape and you see Michael Jordan, you have to draft Michael Jordan, which is what he did with Kyler Murray. Now, why do I say that about Sam Darnold? The Jets are a dumpster fire. We all know that. And they're going to go through an extensive rebuild when they get to the offseason. If they have the number one pick, and right now they're the only team that's winless in the league, but if they have the number one pick and Trevor Lawrence comes out of Clemson, you have to ask yourself, are you better off drafting Trevor Lawrence, having him in the first year of a rookie contract, than you are having Sam Darnold, who will be going into year four and will be in line for an extension after that point, knowing you have to rebuild? And the reality is that you would be in a better position if you believe that Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent to draft Trevor Lawrence and then trade Sam Darnold. Could you do it at the deadline? Sure, but the risk with that is you have to be certain that you're going to have that top pick, or you have to be certain you're going to be high enough and that you like maybe Fields as much as you like Lawrence. So from that standpoint, that's why I say I'm not so sure that Sam Darnold is going to be with the Jets next season. From that standpoint, if the Jets do hold on to the number one pick, my expectation would be that they would draft Lawrence and then move Darnold, get draft capital, and go through the rebuilding process.
I would agree with you. Jim Trotter joining us. All right, so really quickly, Jim, different situations, but a similar question. If you're Washington, should you consider trading Dwayne Haskins?
Absolutely. No question about it. They've already shown us that they don't believe in him, by the way they've handled this situation. And the things that have leaked out of that organization about him shows that they don't believe in him. In fact, they've poisoned the waters. I think it hurt themselves. The issue is, Jim, I don't know that they can find a trade partner at this point. GMs that I've talked to say that right now they would not trade for Dwayne Haskins, right or wrong. So I think what teams will do is just wait it out until the offseason when they believe that Washington will waive Dwayne Haskins, and then they would have an opportunity, if they like him, to go after him then.
He is a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media, a Hall of Fame voter. And if you have not done so already, you need to pick up his book, Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Also, the co-host of a new podcast, Huddle and Flow. He is Jim Trotter, covering a lot of ground. My man, you are the best, Jim. I appreciate you. Thanks so much, and always good to have you in the jungle.
No, Romeo, I always appreciate the vine, man. You guys have a good day.
You too, Jim. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Jim Trotter, all class. Great, great journo. 1-800-636-8686. It's a good Friday. It's a really good day. This guy writes, hey, Rome Slice, get ready to bleeping fight on, baby. Let's
get
go.
Fight on, baby. Let's go.
Regards, Hawk, drunk dialing Rome at the stroke of midnight on Halloween to celebrate the end of sober October. Geoff and Lincoln. Yeah, I don't think so. Hawk and I are working early Sunday morning for the NFL on CBS. We don't go hard on Saturday nights, the day before workday. And by the way, he wouldn't drunk dial me. A drunk butt dial. Imagine Hawk hitting me up at 12:01 Sunday morning. Hey, boss, get ready. Bleeping fight on, baby. Let's go. It's November. Hawk's got to be ready to bust out, man. Hasn't had a drink in a month. Hasn't been on his road bike in a month. He's got to be ready to roll. 1-800-636-8686. Oh, there's a phone call that I want. There's a phone call that I want. My man, Jeff in Southfield is back. Guaranteed telephone call next segment. I guarantee it. Bet anything you have. Bet your house, bet your car, bet your life. If Jeff stays on hold, Jeff will get on air. That's coming up. I've got Dan Wetzel coming up at the top of the hour. Jim Trotter talked about Trevor Lawrence. Quite a week for Trevor Lawrence. I want to get into that. Alvy, he's got his spooky mix locked and loaded. He's working the week that was. Check out director Mike Bay doing Mike Bay things. Check out Tony La Russa getting a job in his mid-70s. Not just a job, a managerial position. All of that's coming up. And ATP coming up later on, too. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome, and it is time for a sports update. So here you are.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Good one, Van Smack. How many times have you used that joke? Funny stuff, Van Smack. Some inside jungle right there. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. It's an inside joke. Yeah, really, Rome? Your whole show is an inside joke. No, it's not. If you listen to it, it's not. I'm talking about the ATP. The inside joke is Alvin will say to me before the segment actually starts, here's some inside jungle for you. Ask the pros. Which is code for read the billboard. Ask the pros. And I inevitably will say, ask them what? And who are the pros? And he looks at me like, yeah, that's a good one, Van Smack. Anyway, it's time to ask the pros. And as you know, it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Listen, later on, I might answer your question, but probably not. I'll probably answer Bella B's. And if not Bella B's, then Brent and PC. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so here's a tweet from one of the greatest guys ever, the Fonz, at HWinkler4Real, tweets, thank you for all your birthday wishes. It is a big one. If it were miles, I could not walk them. If there were LBSs, I could not lift them, but they are years, and I appreciate every single one that I've lived here on Earth. I mean, that is such a Henry Winkler thing to tweet. He is like the best guy, the Fonz. He said it's a big one. The Fonz turns 75 today. Hey. And we do have history with the Fonz. He has been on this program before. In fact, not only has he been on the program before, he has won a Clone's Choice Award. He was part of Left's Smack-Off Call. You've probably got an entire trophy room full of awards. Where would you rank this one?
Well, this one is going right between me and my wife on our bed.
Perfect. How does she feel
Absolutely.
About that?
Well, you know what? She has no say. I've won from the Jim Rome Show. What can I say?
That's awesome. Just working on something right here. That's the Fonz. And he is known in this town as the best guy in this town. He is such a good dude. Love the Fonz. So happy birthday to Henry Winkler. And when I think about the Fonz, I can't help but think about this guy. Let's go to the phones. Jeff in Southfield. on a Friday. Jeff, what's going on?
Thank you for the vine, Jim. Jim, when they say everything is bigger in Texas, they're talking about Johnny and Texas's cheek pouches. Hey, Johnny, you're one double cheeseburger away from looking like an adult male orangutan. Seriously, Jim, Johnny's cheek pouches are so impressive, he receives nude photos from female chipmunks. Speaking of females, according to Johnny, Johnny's a real ladies' man. Hey, Johnny, nothing shows me you're a real smooth smoothie like you saying on Stucknut Radio that you and Jeremy and Green Bay are going to go to the bar and, quote, smash some ass. Really, Johnny? I'm sure the lady clones who heard that were extremely impressed by both your very mature outlook and your sophisticated vernacular. Hey, Johnny, the only person who didn't cringe at that is Steve Garvey. Hey, Johnny, why don't you expand that rich lexicon of yours by inviting Garv to join you and Jeremy? Then, in addition to smashing some ass, you can also pump some chicks. You gotta be kidding me, Johnny. Although I shouldn't be surprised, considering you're the guy looking to host that big Texas clone stock. Hey, Johnny, please tell me that the clone stock isn't you trying to fulfill some unfulfilled spring break wild party fantasy. Hey, Johnny, are you envisioning a clone stock brimming with hot young chicks in tiny bikinis who are all looking to take a short break from the normal rules of life and just let loose, get wasted, and have easy casual sex with some sloppy drunk jackass? Because that fantasy has no corresponding reality, Johnny. That fantasy only exists in the minds of college-age wankers, Johnny. In fact, many years ago, a college wanker named Matt Patricia chased that fantasy with disastrous results, Johnny. Allegedly. Johnny, the real clone stock is going to be 95% middle-aged male dorks. And the three or four toothless females that do show up, even though they are as desperate as they are toothless, they aren't looking for the Matt Patricia experience, Johnny. Hey, Johnny, how is it possible that you have an adult daughter, but you still haven't grown up yet? Grow the hell up, Johnny. That's all I got, Jim. But before I go, I promised my grumpy old man he could bark some bitter nonsense at entitled millennials. So here he is. Back in my day, we didn't have no fancy internet porn. We had a little thing called the Adult Video Store. And to get there, you had to walk 10 miles through the snow, uphill, and we loved it. See, my generation never complained, because we believed that porno was something you earned, not something you're entitled to. Thanks, Pop. That's right, millennials. To go to the adult video store back in the day, dudes who normally understood that a hat, sunglasses, and flipping up the collar of your coat is a pathetic disguise that's not fooling anyone. I mean, bro, we can all see it's you, but nonetheless, all of us, we did just that.
Rackham? Jeff in Southfield. Man, there's nothing worse than when that guy's phone call ends. There has never been anybody quite like that guy in the jungle. Never. I'm not saying he's the best. I'm not saying he's the GOAT. I'm not saying that there are better callers, although there are not very many better callers. What I'm saying is there has never been a guy like that in the jungle. I love that. I love everything about that call, but the thing I love most about that call is that porn is something to be earned. Millennials, you're not entitled to it. It's not as easy as having to just decide between do you watch porn on your laptop or your phone. That's all you millennials have to decide right now. That's your issue. Admit it, millennials. That is your only issue as it relates to porn. Do I watch it on my computer or do I watch it on my phone? Oh, no. Oh, no. Go ask your man, your old man, how he dealt with porn. And he probably would tell you exactly what Johnny did. Like Johnny's, quote, pa just did. That they'd put on the trench coat and the hat and the sunglasses and flip up the collar and walk 10 miles through the snow and be happy to do it, because they understood that porno was not something you were entitled to, but rather something you had to earn. And you didn't get it out of your iPhone or your Android device. You got it at the, quote, adult bookstore. Only Jeff in Southfield could make that call. And, dude, by the way, man, get off of Johnny in Texas. That's like the most unfair fight ever. I mean, Jeff, it was fun and it was funny. But is there any sport in that, really? I mean, after your 15th, hey, Johnny! At that point, I got to pull you off that guy. I mean, he's no longer able to defend himself. Jeff in Southfield, he's already got his golden ticket. Never mind a golden ticket. If not for the BIC, I'd just give that guy next year's smack off right now. Jeff in Southfield. I'll take your reaction to it. 1-800-636-8686. I'm somewhat awed by that guy, man. He is so weird and so awesome. At Wooden Laconic tweets, drunk dialing the boss never ends well. Signed, Kyle at the Cubs game.
Ben Smack, basically, just like Hollywood, it's an honor to be here. You caught me in a little bit of a malted hop frenzy, but it's great to be here at Wrigley Stadium. Yeah!
It's Kyle Brandt, and Kyle Brandt had not been here that long when he made that phone call. Talk about not giving a damn. My man called the show drunk, called his boss drunk. And by the way, it worked out pretty well for him. Look at him now. Yeah! Jeff in Southfield. Who wants to follow that call? Good luck with that. Luckily, I've got an interview at the top of the hour, a really good one. Dan Wetzel, Yahoo sports columnist, one of the best in the biz. He joins me next. We talk Trevor Lawrence, and we talk Big Ten football with him. Harrison Bryant, a tight end for the Browns, joins me in hour number two as well. Stay tuned.